Torah, loving and living Yahweh's Word, and I'm Stefan Yah on YahweHyahweh.name. Torah loving and living, Shalom. So what would it be like if you had no direction from Yahweh? No precise word? If he just said, love your neighbor, and have a nice day. And that would be up to your own interpretation as to what to do and how to love Yahweh and love your neighbor. Not even a description of what does love consist of, what is loving, and how distracted we would be without any definitive word of Yahweh. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 7, first of all, and then into the Torah, Exodus chapter 12. But in Romans 7, the Jewish speaker here, Shaul, or Paul, says in 7 verse 14, for we know that the Torah, the law, he's speaking here not of sacrificial law, of the he's not speaking of the temple laws. For I know that the Torah is spiritual, for I am carnal, sold under sin. And then near the end of that seventh chapter, he also echoes what King David said, for I delight in the Torah of Yahweh after the inward man. So he's not delighting in temple sacrifices, that he is telling us that those are the added laws that were done away with, and specifically Jeremiah 7:22, the added law, Ezekiel 20:25, and Galatians chapters 2, 3, and 4. But he delights in the law of Yahweh after the inward man. And then finally, he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank Yahweh through the Savior, our Master. So then with a mind, I myself serve the law of Yahweh, but with the flesh, I would serve the law of sin. Therefore, in chapter 8, there is therefore, in other words, having said this, to the lifting up of the law, there's no condemnation to them which are in Messiah, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I've noticed there's a difference here that in the Tree of Life version, and many modern versions, that they've left out this phrase here from verse 1 of chapter 8. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's very important, even though the concept remains throughout Scripture elsewhere. But we're to live by every word of Yahweh. So there isn't any condemnation, therefore, for those who are in Messiah, that is, who are called by Him and elected and chosen, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life in Messiah. Yahushua has made me free from the law. Made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And it said in verse 6, as he speaks through the Spirit, that for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, it is not subject to the Torah of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. It's not subject to his law. So, I have here in my lap the Hallelujah Scriptures that's available, and chapter 8. And this is the rendition of this. I do like the paraphrase by Jews for Yeshua, but this Hallelujah version is really an eye-opener to me. This is a far superior to most of the other versions. It said, there is then now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah, Yahusha, and this is in Paleo, saying Yahusha's name, who do not walk after the flesh, but according to the Ruach. For the Torah of the Ruach of the High and HaMashiach, and Yahusha has freed me from the law of sin and death, the Torah being powerless in that it was weak through the flesh. Yahweh, in Paleo Yod Heh Vav Heh, Yahweh having his own Ben, or Son, in the likeness of flesh of sin, and concerning sin, condemn sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the Torah, should be completed in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Ruach. For those who live according to the flesh put their minds on that of the flesh, but those according to the Ruach walk according to that of the Ruach. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Ruach is high and peace. or in the King James, said in a little bit different way there. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, because the mind of the flesh is enmity toward Yahweh, for it does not subject itself to the Torah of Yahweh, neither indeed is it able. So the Hallelujah Scriptures, in one place on the website, hallelujahscriptures.com. Let me look that up again just to confirm. Yes, Hallelujah Scriptures, spelled HallelujahYah, and then wordscriptures.com. And we also have that listed on our website, YahvahYahweh.name. Yeah, YahvahNotYahweh.com. And on the page about the Scriptures, just click the button about Scriptures. So we read the Word, and we can find His descriptions of loving. We'll be going next to Exodus 12 and verse 49. But first of all, I wanted to read a few quotations. Leonard Ravenhill wrote some real encouragement here and convicting words. He said, "No man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, but few prayers." Now let me read that part. "Many players and payers, but few prayers. Many singers, few clingers." Singers, but few clingers. Clinging to the Word, in other words. "We have lots of pastors and few wrestlers. Many fears, but few tears. Much fashion, little passion. We have many interferers, but few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere." That's part of the quotation, Leonard Ravenhill, at, I think from the Chicago area, in the past 100 years. So in the now in the Torah, an article here from GiveShare.org, the Index of the Torah, or Index of Law, and under letter D, foreign policy. And in Exodus 12, we find this verse quoted, "One law shall be to him that is homeborn," that is to the person grafted into and the good olive tree, "one that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you." There is one law. There is not a Gentile law and then a separate one for the Jews. But Exodus 12:49 is one of the many that quotes that. "No equality of justice is permitted toward aliens." We're all to be treated, as far as justice is concerned, equally. And then that goes along, Leviticus 25. And you could read that up for yourself, bring it up yourself, but Leviticus 25:35 through 7:37. And it says, "If thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though thou be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee." Though he be a stranger or sojourner, that he may live with thee, and take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear Yahweh, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. I am Yahweh, the Elohim, brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your Elohim. In Leviticus 25, you'll find restrictions, rules about the alien, and even having a believer as a bondservant in Leviticus 25. Also, the usury of aliens. So believers are permitted to charge usury of aliens if you're living outside of the nation of Israel, Leviticus 25:35. And then you have Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 6. The intermarriage of aliens with believers are forbidden, according to Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 6. And then I'll try to just give you references here as we go along. Some of these will be direct quotes. Under tithing, free will offerings, this is under the letter F, Foxtrot, free will offerings found in Leviticus 22:17. And now I'm going to quote verse 20. Leviticus 22:17, verse 20. And yes, thank you. That does sound much, much better. We'll adjust here. Leviticus 22:17, but whatsoever has a blemish in your offerings, that shall you not offer, for it shall not be acceptable. That's in Leviticus or Vayikra 22:17-20. Then also regarding tithing, we find in Deuteronomy 16 about that second tithe, which we believe that we are to store up 10% of our income, if we have an actual income, and spend it on the feast days, according to this. Deuteronomy 16:10. And thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto Yahweh thy Elohim with a tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto Yahweh thy Elohim, as Yahweh thy Elohim has blessed thee. So we can receive many, many blessings by attending Yahweh's feast days. And in Deuteronomy 16:11, thou shalt rejoice before Yahweh. So we don't there go there just grieving. And, oh, this is such a bondage. Why do we have to, you know, legalism, Jewish, just rudimentary following laws? Why do we have to do this? No, it's not with that attitude at all. It's with an attitude as we want to move ahead. Of course, yes, you want to worship and praise Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so this is just one of the greatest ways we can do that. Deuteronomy 16:10, and thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto Yahweh. That's often called Pentecost or first fruits, or Shavuot in Hebrew. And rejoice before Yahweh, thy Elohim, and thy son and thy daughter, manservant and maidservant, and the Levite or priest that is within thy gates, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you in the place which Yahweh thy Elohim has chosen to place his name there. We're rejoicing before Yahweh at each and every feast, at Pesach or Passover, at Shavuot, or what was called here the Feast of Weeks, and in English it was, and Sukkot, after the Feast of Trumpets and Feast of Atonement. And we have the Feast of Sukkot, dwelling in booths with Yahweh, or in cabins, in tents, and or at least worshiping and praising Yahweh the entire 8 days of that Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. Then into Deuteronomy, or Deuteronomy, chapter 23, is another quotation here, 23:23. I'm reading from the King James at the moment. Probably be a little better to use the Hallelujah Scriptures, but this this has the giant print, easier for me to read. And but if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. Now that which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, as thou hast vowed unto Yahweh thy Yahweh, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. So be sure and keep thy vows, according to 23:23 Deuteronomy. Some of the laws of how to love our neighbor deal with gleanings, welfare to the poor, widow, and orphan. That's found in Exodus 22:22, Leviticus 19, Deuteronomy 14:28, Deuteronomy 15. And 23, that's the 23rd chapter. So that's where I am right now. Let's finish up then with that 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy. When thou comest unto thy neighbor's vineyard, that thou mayest eat grapes, that thy fill at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in any vessel. When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thy hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle into thy neighbor's standing corn. You don't just go in there and harvest that without his permission or without any remuneration. Of course. So that explains a little bit about gleaning the edges, the corners of your field. Leonard Ravenhill of the United States said the early church was married to poverty, prisons, and persecutions. But today, he states that the church is frequently married to prosperity, personality, and popularity. You can tell that sometimes on their speeches, their eloquent speeches on the radio. So there's a little bit about tithing now that we have finished up that subject, and Ravenhill's comment about to pursue the greater things in life and to be able to encounter them, even poverty, prisons, and persecutions, as opposed somewhat to prosperity, personality, and popularity. Then the next category here, my friends, talking about loving our neighbor and loving Yahweh. And under national defense, we see Deuteronomy chapter 20, a command for the soldiers to choose their own combat leaders. Soldiers choosing their own leaders. And in 20 verse 8, that no one may be forced into combat. All able-bodied males, 20 years and old, older, responsible for national defense, though, as a contrast to that command there in Deuteronomy 20. You could go to Numbers 1:1, verses 1 through 4 there, concerning our national defense of Israel or wherever you might be living there, as long as you're living under a good free country and a goodly country following Yahweh. Mandatory deferments. Those who have built a new house will be deferred from their military service until they dedicate the house to Yahweh. Also in Deuteronomy 20. And in 20, those who have just planted crops have established a new business deferred until they can leave without endangering their enterprise. Those engaged to be married, their military deferment found in Deuteronomy 20, verse 7. Let me turn the pages here to 20, verse 7, and I'll read a couple of those. Verse 7, what man is there that has betrothed a wife and has not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint, as well as his heart. It shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. When thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it, and then the instructions continue there. I'm not going to go into heavily into armed combat, but that's described there. And going back to Numbers, let me pick it up in Numbers 1:1 to Bamidbar, or Numbers, so-called anyway, but more correctly, Bamidbar, and Chapter 1, Bamidbar means in the wilderness. And Yahweh spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day of the second month in the second year after they were out of Egypt, saying, take you the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies, and with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his fathers. And then those are the names that he calls upon in his army. Now that is a certain situation there. Perhaps we wouldn't paint a broad stroke that Numbers 1:1 would apply to every situation on earth as whether or not to be engaged in warfare. I know the Church of God, Pentecostal Seventh Day, was against any armed warfare. But then what are they going to do for defense when somebody comes after their wives and daughters? You have to be responsible and defend yourself. Continuing on with some of the commandments, statutes, and judgments, this concerning civil justice, laws are found in Leviticus, Deuteronomy 22, and Psalm 101. Slander or false witness is addressed, bribery of judges. Judgments must fit the crime proportionally in Leviticus 24:18. There's court decisions, including executions, to be enforced by the witnesses and the victims. That's quite a bit different there, rather than the American court system. Deuteronomy 17:2, court decisions. Personal revenge, found in Leviticus 19, revenge is forbidden. Leviticus 19:18, we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Deuteronomy 32:35, and Hebrews 30, verse 10. So that's just briefly going over that. I could perhaps quote. No, I don't. Okay, we're gonna go on to family life, and maybe we'll quote some of these well-known passages. Of course, we're going to, for the sake of saving time, we will not quote every scripture here, but just refer to that in our studies on the internet on YahvahNotYahweh.name and GiveShare.org, www.GiveShare.org. So, in family life, some of the laws listed there are found in Genesis. Marriage is ordained by Yahweh, Genesis 1:27. The intermarriage of races and religion are forbidden in Deuteronomy 7 and 2 Corinthians 6:14. Corinthians 6:14. 1 year honeymoons are delineated in Deuteronomy 24:5. That's Deuteronomy 24:5. Incest defined and forbidden in Deuteronomy 22:30 and Leviticus 18:10 and Leviticus 20:17. Childless widow to be married to the nearest kinsman to ensure family inheritance in Deuteronomy 25, Genesis 38, and Ruth chapter 1. So that's an overview of some of these laws. I'm not going to read each and every one of them, nor all the scriptures, so that could take hours. So you might want to do a study on this whole subject of loving and living in Yahweh's liberty and in His law. Polygamy wrong and forbidden in Deuteronomy 17 and Genesis 16. Marital separations are forbidden unless accompanied by legal divorce papers. Well, our author here, Richard Nichols of Giving and Sharing, added that part. He's quoting for that Matthew 19:7 and Deuteronomy 24. However, Deuteronomy 24 is the often referenced scripture that is not the foundational scripture about this marriage and remarriage, this kind of thing, and blah, 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 blah. So go to Deuteronomy 22, and you'll find out the first place of mention, the truth about marriage, and what if there's a problem there, where there's a needed to be a separation of some kind, even a permanent one, if a spouse is abusive. Or actually, in the first place, I mentioned, in this case, it was Deuteronomy 22, that they found, whether or not they found a woman, a maid or not, whether or not she was a virgin, and she didn't try to, try to deceive her spouse, the husband, that she was not one. And so there's the test, the litmus test. Under the category of, and I hope I didn't offend you there, and we'll just kind of skip over now and silently over to the category of life and death, where the laws of homicide And A, verse A, number one, is premeditated murder carries a death penalty found in Genesis, Exodus 20, Leviticus 24, Numbers 35, and Deuteronomy 19. Genesis 9, Exodus 20, Leviticus 24, Numbers 35, and Deuteronomy 19. If you want to actually look those up, you can see that on our website under the scriptures or under marriage. And what else can we... my comment here is, no man can nullify a marriage, only Yahweh, according to the scriptures, beginning with that first place of mention, Deuteronomy 22. We know that there's a lot of situations of deception going on, though, and if a covenant were to be made with somebody who is deceiving you and has no intention of loving you and being a faithful spouse from the beginning, then when it's quickly discovered, then we quickly put them away, according to that Deuteronomy 22. But that's just a quick overview, a broad statement that I just made there. It doesn't apply in all situations. Under life and death, then, premeditated murder carries a death penalty. Anything other than execution for premeditated murder is forbidden. In Numbers 35, verse 30. So, in Bamidbar 35, as I take a moment here to flip some pages, and then the one after that is going to be manslaughter. So this deals with premeditated murder in chapter 35, 30, which says... And I should back up the first 29 verse, the verse before that. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations in your dwellings. Whosoever murder any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. This is under the administration, of course, of the Old Testament covenant. And so anything other than execution for premeditated murder forbidden, and manslaughter as well. Verses chapter 35, 10 through 12, and 22 to 32, which says about a murderer, the revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth, but if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon anything without laying of weight, or with any stone, and then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. It will continue on with more knowledge for you from that 35th chapter of Bamidbar. For laws about assault and liability, we consult just right after the Ten Commandments there in Exodus 21, and also in Leviticus, which is written to all the people, Leviticus 24:19. Health laws for long life are listed. Long life is promised for honoring your parents, Exodus 20, verse 12. Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, and that's also the Ten Commandments. And Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. Under the category now of sexual immorality, and there will be a lot of blah, 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 probably, that I won't... specifically reads some things here on the radio today, because we're just covering the whole outline of loving and living in Yahweh's kingdom under his mighty dominion. So prostitution and seduction are forbidden in Exodus 22 and Leviticus 19 and chapter 21 Leviticus. Adultery in chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments. in Exodus 20 and Leviticus 20 and Deuteronomy 22 again. Sodomy is forbidden in Leviticus 20, verse 13, and 1 Corinthians 6. Incest is not allowed in Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20, verse 14. Bestiality in 20:15. Rape or of a married or engaged person, Deuteronomy 22:25. And sexual assault with intent to mutilate, Deuteronomy 25, verse 11. And I think I covered all of that. That was outlined by giving and sharing under the heading of sexual immorality. Then on to part 9, property and economics, on how to love your neighbor. Land inheritance. Helpless or injured animals must be helped. Exodus 23 and Deuteronomy 22 again. Working men and beasts must be fed well in Deuteronomy 25 and 1 Timothy 5, 8. It is not theft for a hungry person to eat of the growing crops for the poor mainly. Deuteronomy 23, verse 24. Matthew 12, verse 1. Then under labor laws, labor was ordained by Yahweh, Genesis 3:16 through 19, and also in the book of Proverbs. The weekly Sabbath of rest is to be honored in Deuteronomy 5 and Genesis chapter 2. A fair payment of wages, of course, is Leviticus 19:13. 19 of Leviticus and Deuteronomy 24:14, also 1 Timothy 5:18. Bond servants' tenure is limited to 6 years, because the seventh year, of course, is the forgiving of debts, and so bond servants limited to 6 years unless he desires or she to continue. Exodus 21 verse 2. Marriage of bond servants in 21, verses 3 through 11. Treatment of bond servants by employers in Deuteronomy 24 and Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25. Bond servants must submit to the employers. Titus 2. Escaped bond servants need not to be returned unless they are working to pay off restitution. Deuteronomy 23:15. Aliens, in other words, those who have no land inheritance, who are servants, Leviticus 25, verse 44, and 1 Kings 9:20, verse 20. Under the loans and usury, and I guess we're getting closer to the end now here, and the podcast so far is about 35 minutes in, but under loans and usury, loans to the needy are mandated. In Deuteronomy 15, and of course our third tithe, that I didn't mention that yet, but is in other teaching programs found on websites, there's a third tithe. We save that once every third year. No, wait a minute. Every third year out of a seven-year cycle, and at other times as well, not just then, not only then. Usury forbidden, Leviticus 25 and Deuteronomy 23. Citizens under citizens or believers, rather, those in the land are permitted to charge usury of aliens if they are outside the nation of Israel. Leviticus 25:35, and then all debts canceled once again every 7 years. Deuteronomy 15. The subject of theft is addressed again in Leviticus 19:11 and Deuteronomy 5. And theft and fraud are forbidden there in Leviticus 19. Theft is punishable by restitution in direct proportion to the amount stolen. So we don't go out and shoot robbers. And that's Exodus 22 in the judgments, right, following the Ten Commandments. Exodus 22. The most important thing I think that you'll find there are things that you can do and take action in, not just regarding your neighbor, but in a direct worship to Yahweh. The best thing is keeping the feast days. The three major feast days are listed there in those judgments in Exodus 22. And again, it is not theft for the hungry to eat of growing crops in Deuteronomy 23:24 and also 25 and Matthew 12 verse 1. Now, under a broad category of liability laws, lost property must be returned to its owner, Leviticus 6 verse 2. And there's also a law of ignorance there. If you were not aware of the law or not aware of a sinful action that are addressed there, but we're still held accountable for our sins until we confess our sins and we repent of our sins. Of course, the big R word, repent, is taboo in modern churches and society and many corners of the world today. Lost property must be returned to its owner in Deuteronomy 22 again. That's not a catch-all chapter, but in Leviticus 6, lost property, accidental destruction of property in Exodus. Now, going back to Exodus over here, in the judgments, 22 verse 6, accidental destruction. Loss of borrowed property in 22 in Shemot or Exodus, and the destruction or loss of property by carelessness in 21. That's Exodus 21:33 and Shemot or Exodus 22 verse 6. Now we're moving away from that outline of that was given to me. Oh wow, and I can't remember the Church of God that supplied that originally to our giving and sharing website that I am a part of by supporting it financially, at least in the past. We don't have the means to support 50 or 100 ministries. And Ezekiel has some very good wisdom now to share, and 1 John chapter 3 as well, Malachi. And we're going to go through this now, down to the real... I would say we're doing brass tacks already, but down where the metal and all that, where the tire, the rubber meets the road. That's the comparison there, I guess, metaphor, rubber meeting the road. Ezekiel, or Ezekiel chapter 18 now, it says in verse 20 here in the scriptures, and I'm reading generally from the King James Version and with any needed corrections to go back to the Hebrew scripture scroll. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. And he that sinneth is of the devil. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, of Hasatan. And then chapter 5 of 1 John, we know that whosoever is born of Yahweh sinneth not. So this is an answer to the motto that, we're all just sinners saved by grace. That isn't quite true. We know that whosoever is born of Yahweh sinneth not. But he that is begotten of Yahweh keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. I know Leonard Ravenhill would agree with this scripture and with all of those, that once we repent, we don't make a practice actively of sinning, then we're not officially a sinner. We're an advertent, accidental person who stumbles now and then, and stumbles up either upon the truth or stumbles upon a sinful habit, and then we repent of that. So we don't make a practice at all of practicing our sins over and over. When Yahweh comes back, he said, I will make up my jewels. Where is that? That's in the last chapter of the Protestant order of scriptures, Malachi chapter 3 and 4. So chapter 3, verse 17. Here, oh, what a beautiful day, Sabbath day Yah has given us. Malachi 3, 17. And Yah is speaking, and he says, they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. We'll get wiser and more discernment. Not to go around and just judging everything and everybody, but just certain specific cases where it's applicable. Malachi 4:4, some of the very last words that we are sometimes in the New Testament, we are encouraged to continue on and keep the commandments according to some modern preachers, but others are, it seems like most of them preach against obedience to the law of Yahweh. But in contrast to that, Yahweh tells us in chapter 4, remember the law, the Torah of Moses, my servant, which I commanded upon him in Horeb for all Israel, the statutes and judgments. So the commandments, statutes, and judgments. Then in Habakkuk, as he turned back a little bit, a few pages, are we just here to play the game and the protocol and kind of go through the motions? Well, Habakkuk 3:16. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. The rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up upon the people, he will invade them with his troops. Speaking of Yahweh sending his heavenly messengers out, and we're going to do some purification. It's time to, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to discard the pagan holidays and throw them under the bus, right into the ditch. Discard that old baggage, like the winter solstice, the old uncertain legends. Discard those as well. Someone, a Christian, had on his bumper of his truck, I believe in Sasquatch, in Bigfoot. Well, and he also believed in Jesus, it said. But, well, he was a double-minded person. Throw it all away. Toss away those rocks that don't do any good in our lives. All that baggage. Leave it behind and go on with Yahweh to keep his feast days and observe his commandments, statutes, and judgments, certainly starting with Passover. We don't want to substitute Passover with a Sunday morning breakfast. Weekly, it's not commanded to do that, and furthermore, it is, on the other hand, commanded to keep his feast days in Leviticus 23, in Exodus 22, and Isaiah 66, that's future, also in Revelation. He said, I know thy works. He said that a dozen times to the different assemblies and throughout that book of the Revelation, throughout those scriptures. We don't want to discard anything of Yahweh's. Don't want to put that aside, do we? Praise Yahweh. No, we don't want to do that. Then let's go back even further to the prophetic scriptures here of Jeremiah, Yeremiyahu chapter 16, verse 10. And it shall come to pass that when thou show this people all these words, they shall say unto thee, wherefore has Yahweh pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? And then continue there to verse 15 to address such, taking things so lightly. Is it such a light thing to encourage somebody to obey Yahweh and to attend the assembly? Not to attend just any old assembly, the, quote, church of your choice or something necessarily, but one that really follows, as far as you know, it perseveres in the word of Yahweh. Chapter 23 now of Yeremiyahu, and 36. The burden of Yahweh shall you mention no more, in a condescending way. For every man's word shall be his burden, for you have perverted the words of the living Yahweh. the living word of Yahweh of armies, or Sabaoth, our Elohim, or our sovereign one. You have perverted his words. And the book of John tells us over and over that Yahweh is the word in chapter 1 of the book of Yochanan. Galatians 2 opens up with the idea of circumcision, the law of circumcision, even though that circumcision word is not specifically mentioned until, regarding Peter, that he desired people to be ceremonially circumcised according to it might have even been according to a cultural thing, but it was not according to Yahweh's word. Circumcision didn't save, but it was a commandment, and a very healthy thing to do, of course. It's not just to be some sort of a token. We're making a covenant with Yahweh. We're still keeping that covenant with Yahweh as Abraham did in the back in the Old Testament, Genesis. So Genesis 6 closes with the same thought, and echoed throughout Scripture in Ezekiel 20, Jeremiah 7, and Hebrews 9:9, that the animal sacrifices, the added law due to transgressions, including the animal sacrifices, the death penalty possibly, and the at least physical death penalty, and the carnal ordinances and washings, were that I submit that they were abrogated by the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah. See Hebrews chapter 9. That's really a revelation to many who are into church traditions, to try to rip away some of those traditions. 1 John chapter 3 says sin is the transgression of the Torah, and that we note that there are no divisions of the Torah, such as the so-called ceremonial division. There's not a ceremonial category in anywhere in Scripture, even though there are the sacrificial laws of the temple that were added, and judicial and moral laws are not really specifically mentioned about that it's a moral law, but we have the category of taking the entire Scripture and following it, that is, living by every word, living by and loving by every word of Yahweh that proceeds out of his mouth that he gave to the prophets, to the writers of Scripture. So we do his commandments, statutes, and judgments willingly and with great gusto and joy, and living by every word. Will we live in paradise, in that Jewish paradise again? Zechariah 14, of course. Keep the Feast of Tabernacles, specifically in Zechariah 14, and that is going to be in the future, in the millennium. Will you desire to praise him at these feasts? Now I'm going to be looking at the Hallelujah Scriptures, which I believe are the very best, at least published Scriptures. HallelujahScriptures.com, and in 1 Kings or Malachim 17:17, and the woman, see, your son lives. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of Elohim, and the word of Yahweh in your mouth is truth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you're a man of Yahweh, and that the word of Yahweh in your mouth is truth. Thy word is truth is certainly quoted from Scripture quite frequently. In fact, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 8, Nehemiah, or some call Nehemiah, 1, verse 8, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. And Psalm 119, the wonderful, lengthiest psalm, Psalm, or Tehillim 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now that settles the argument of how many sins I could get away with, or on the side, maybe slip a few acts of disobedience into my life, and maybe he'll just ignore it. Maybe he'll just anticipate that I'm going to sin, and so we don't act presumptuously with that carte blanche charge card and throw it out there in front of the Savior and say, okay, forgive all of my sins. I don't even have to confess them. People say this. They've actually testified that once they went to the altar and so-called, quote, repented, then after that, none of their sins counted at all. They didn't have to repent of them or confess them. That's not what the Word of Yahweh says, as you well know. 1 John chapter 1 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity or law-breaking. And repent. Repent is the R word, the forbidden R word that is used. But it's not forbidden. Not here, anyway. And not in your house, either. Oh, that's wonderful. Yes. And we've got many messages on the R word available, on the wonderful repent. And that's why we don't commonly use the word holy here, but a holiness Pentecostal Seventh-day Sabbath-keeping assembly. That's what we would like to be referred to at times, and with all the passion and with all of our heart to love Yahweh with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the reason that we went through this list of laws, the index of law from giving and sharing, was to enumerate how to live and love in Yahweh's kingdom, and according to his beautiful plan, according to what an awesome Yahweh he is, and just and righteous and true altogether, and very kadosh, very, very, very separated and pure, the most pure, the most high one, Yahweh, and his word, of course, that there's just no other like it, no. Because he is far high and above all. He has created it all. He keeps this world spinning. As a friend of mine, Floyd, once said, that what keeps the world, or what started the world spinning? And so, joking, one could say, well, it was an explosion, you know, speculating. Well, no, Yahweh started. That's crazy. Of course it. And then what would have kept the world spinning? Well, there's these. There must be these jets, or in outer space, some Martians install these jets to keep our planet. No, Yahweh, somehow he keeps that world revolving at a regular miles per hour. Was it 1,024 miles an hour, or something like this? Wow! And he just has been doing this for thousands of years, like 6,000. Some odd years. We are spinning around, we're going around in our orbit around the sun at, I don't know, I think it's 24,000 miles an hour or something. Oh, and then that gives us our seasons. Back many years ago, people thought that the sun revolved around the earth. Some still do. And it wouldn't make any sense, though, but especially if you could take a spaceship up now, take a rocket or something, and go into outer space and get some pictures, that whole theory falls apart. All these crazy old theories about the world was square or flat or something. No, we can look at our satellite pictures right now and see exactly what has been done here. A wonderful creation of Yahweh. And that he is doing wonderful creations in his people. And turning us into, instead of, as Leonard Ravenhill said, instead of players, we become prayers for Yahweh. Instead of organizers, well, that's there has to be some facilitating and organization, but instead of that, much more, should be agonizers, that we agonize for the filth, the sin, the deceit that has gone on in the world. And instead of payers and players, we become prayers. Instead of clingers, we become singers. Instead of pastors, we become wrestlers for the word. Instead of fearing everything and fearing the news media and the great guru of science up there telling us to get this shot and so forth, instead of all that fear, we have tears for and compassion for one another, and certainly in loving obedience of Yahweh, we have passion for Yahweh. And we don't interfere, we intercede. And we don't fail or fall here. We fall, of course, upon the rock that is Messiah. We love him and his one law, that is to the homeborn and to the stranger that sojourns among us. We distribute to the poor. We, without usury, we're to do that, as the word says, Leviticus 25. And we're just moving ahead for Yahweh. We're actually doing things, as opposed to just sitting around with no direction at all and just being oblivious to, the only thing we're supposed to do, supposedly by according to the world standard, is to go out and tell other people about this great marketing plan that Yahweh has, and pyramid, and we could, get more people to come to church and tithe and all. No, there's much more than that. We are his jewels, and Yahweh is making up a great people who are very dedicated to him, very loving, dedicated, generous, and courteous, loving people, men and women out there, that we work together as a team, and we are celebrating Yahweh's feasts. We're in his kingdom right now. So we want to thank you for joining us today, and drop us a line, please, so that we'll know to continue at Stefan Yah, that's my name, Stefan Yah at YahwehYahweh.name, and tell other people too. To check out our website, YahwehNotYahweh.name. .com on that particular URL. It's www.YahwehNotYahweh.com, but that one does not fit in the email. Okay, email is .name and YahwehYahweh.name. Thanks. It's been a good hour. Spend together. We've celebrated the Thanksgiving holidays with a number of our religious and secular relatives around, and just spent the whole week and the entire year giving thanks unto Yahweh for things that we have and the certain things that we don't have that nobody would want anyway. We don't have those that baggage to carry around anymore, or be enslaved to any sort of remuneration of expensive Christmas gifts, and so we don't do that stuff. No, we're fighting for the kingdom of Yahweh, or standing up for righteousness, doing the right thing, and hopefully doing all this with the right spirit, the spirit of Yahweh, the Ruach HaKadosh, loving our neighbor and loving Yahweh first as a first priority. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you next time, and please encourage us as we encourage one another. Shalom.
Mountain mover, that's what you are. Verily, verily, you said unto me that if I told the mountain to be cast in the sea and did not doubt but believe what I said, that I would have whatsoever I say. You've made me, and mountain movers, what you want us to be.